passionate instigator, and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show. And here we have the first Thursday of October, and we know what the first Thursday of October means. It means it is neutral news week here on the Dr. Kevin Show, as Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed and I get together and we try to see if we can do either an unbiased view of what's going on in the world today, or be very honest that we're being very biased, but we tell you up front and we don't try to sell it to you like it's the true story, but just our opinions. And between Matt and I, we have no shortage of opinions. Matt Connerton, are you there?
I am.
So, Mr. Matt, before we get into a few different stories, I'd like us to kick around. Matt Connerton, for those of you who are unaware or just tuning in for the first time, has his own drive-through show, a drive-time show. I'm doing it again, Matt.
his own drive-time show
from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday. Can you tell our listeners where they could listen to your drive-through show?
It's Matt Connerton Unleashed in the Afternoon. It airs on WMNH 95.3 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire. But you can also stream it online from anywhere at WMNHradio.org. And there is also a replay that airs at 11 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation at IPMNation.com. But you can hear it live from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern at WMNHradio.org. And you can also get the archive there, too. So you can actually stream it whenever you want to at that same site.
So I am going to ask you, if you haven't done it already, to obviously go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, where I post the shows, and people can tune in there if they want to leave a comment, if they want something that they want to say to us, and leave that information under there so people can find it easily, click through. You know, people oftentimes, if they can't find it easily, just don't bother to find it at all. You know it and I know it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, so Matt, I've got a question for you. Have you finished getting all of the talks from April up on Dr. Kevin and Friends Network yet?
No, because the last time I tried to get them from Dropbox, I couldn't get into those folders. I was going to ask you about that last time you were here, and then we never got to that. But no, so unless it's up on your YouTube channel, we haven't added it yet to the station, and I'll need you to maybe resend me the or reshare those folders with me, because I haven't been able to get into them. It won't let me in.
Okay, well, we're gonna have to figure that out. I didn't realize you were having a difficulty, because we're now going to be starting to send you the ones from the fall show.
Oh, very good. Very good.
So you're going to be really behind. When you said that you wanted to do a Dr. Kevin and Friends Network TV thing, and I think you may have one point questioned, would there be enough really to do a 24/7? I think we've answered that question. There is more than enough.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I wanted to start with that because I was going to promote the TV show, the internet show. What do they call them? Just a TV show or an internet show? What do they call it? An internet station?
Yeah, internet station. That works.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I've heard it called different things. And so I just was kind of curious. But people can also go to that if they, again, go to Dr. Kevin Facebook, My Dr. Kevin on Facebook. So facebook.com/mydrkevin. They will see where we have today's show posted, where they have the call-in number posted, where Matt is going to post where people can actually go find his five-day-a-week show. And I may even impose on him to post where people can find the TV show, the TV station. Would you be willing to do that for me, Mr. Matt?
Well, of course.
Okay. Also, if you want to be part of the conversation today, you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. And you, too, can be part of today's conversation. So how are things going these days with you? How's your new show going? It's not so new anymore, but I guess it still qualifies.
Yeah, no, going very well. And you're going to be here Monday, correct? Oh, wait,
yes,
no, Monday's a holiday. No, Monday's a holiday. That's right. We're not here. I forgot about that. I don't know if you knew that. Monday's Columbus Day.
Yes, Monday is Columbus Day, and I actually was going to be asking you whether it was still on or not, because normally Columbus Day, a lot of places don't do things. I know I'm not taping Dragons and Unicorns that day. So
Yeah, the station is closed, so Monday will be a repeat. But you're always welcome to come in a different day.
Okay,
different magical day.
Well, I may see if I can figure out a different magical day. I mean, now that the now the Web of Light Expo is over, I can take a deep breath and then get ready for my wedding at the end of the month. Yeah, it never ends. So did you have any
particular... How was the expo?
I'm going to be very honest. The expo was a little slower than we wanted it. But, you know, a very interesting thing happened, because I actually did a opening prayer, meditation, and talk on Sunday. And a lot of times, Matt, when people go to expos of any kind, there are really two different kinds of vendors at expos. There are the vendors that are there because this is the way, the only way, or the way that they build their business. But their business isn't really, it's not their passion, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people that you see, if you go to the expo, that are trying to sell you windows, new windows in your house, or trying to get you to put on siding or things like this, I'm not saying that they're not, you know, that that's not their career, or that that can't be a career job. But, you know, you have people that go because their one and only purpose is to make money.
Right.
And you have those kind of vendors. When you go to a spiritual, metaphysical, New Age show, you would be thinking that your people, that your, that the people that are there would, yes, like to make money, but also are there to change the world, are there to bring light and inspire and motivate. I mean, is that an unreasonable thought process?
No, I would tend to hope for that, certainly.
So I really thought about it, and it's so funny, because on Saturday we didn't have the numbers we thought, but we still had people coming in. And I know that I know of at least one or two booths that, you know, the show opened at 10 and they made their nut by noon.
Oh, good.
So nothing to complain. But I know that there were some other booths that were very slow, and some people were in talks, and some talks were well attended, and a couple of talks didn't go at all. Nobody showed up. And that happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody, you know, but, and then on Sunday, we had some reader, and we, you know, we had somewhere around 40 readings that people did. And we had 14 psychics, and I was one of them. And I was only at my table if they texted me to say somebody signed up with me. I wasn't sitting there smiling at people and putting out the energy, come get a reading, because I was running around on the floor. But I was like, I was available. And so it was kind of interesting. But what happened, but on Sunday, there were two or three vendors that left Saturday night and packed up their stuff and left without saying a word. And we had a couple of readers. Yep. And we had a couple of readers. One who I actually spoke to just before the show, just as the show was closing, and said, okay, well, I'll see you tomorrow. Yep, I'll see you tomorrow. And then after she left, I noticed she had taken her advertising signboard off the psychic list, the psychic table, and she never showed up the next day. But she had just said, wow. Yes, I'll see you tomorrow. And so on Sunday morning, I was like, okay, well, you know, we thought Saturday, because it was kind of cold and rainy and low in the 60s, that that'd be a good day for people to go to an expo. But it's also a good day for people to get up and look outside and go, I don't want to go anywhere.
Right.
So we thought that maybe mid-60s and sunny, maybe that would be a better turnout. But on Monday morning, on Sunday morning, I did this talk where, and I think that intuitively, I knew the whole Vegas thing was getting ready to happen. Because I was on fire. I was so on fire because I was like, you know, yes, everybody would have liked to have seen more people yesterday. But what I want everybody to focus on is the people you saw. How many people did you help yesterday? How many people, how many seekers, how many people showed up and they needed to be inspired or motivated? How many people felt lost and came into this expo yesterday and you gave them a little hope? How many people did you touch yesterday that may now go out and be a brighter light in the world? For a lot of people, this feels like very dark times, and that we're not trusting lots of our institutions, our government. There's a lot of places we don't trust. We don't feel comfortable. We don't feel safe. And these people are out and they're looking, and you people were here yesterday and you're back today to say, here, maybe I have something for you. Maybe I have a little guidance, a little inspiration, a little motivation. Maybe I have an answer. Maybe today there'll be hope. And we'll be right back.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Here we have Neutral News Thursday, the first Thursday of the month. I'm here with Matt Connerton. Matt Connerton, besides being the founder and brainchild behind IPM Nation, also has had a number of radio and TV shows in his time, including he had one on DKRN back when Dr. Kevin Radio Network was in existence. He currently has a drive time show from 4 to 6. If you go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, you can get all the information about how to either listen to Matt's show live from 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, whether that is through a radio station or through the internet, or to listen to replays, as Matt has posted that link on facebook.com/mydrkevin under the posting for today's show. If you would like to be part of today's conversation, you can also post questions there, or you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that is 202-570-7057. Matt, you still there?
I am.
So I did this whole big announcement. I did this whole big announcement. I did this whole big announcement to the to the vendors, and I said, and there are those vendors, and they won't hear this, and those readers who didn't show up today, and it's sad that whoever they did touch, that it was not enough that they touched people and gave them hope. And I got applause. I got people coming up and talking to me. You know, and the talk I did was longer than what I just said in the last segment, but it was really poignant, and it was really about, of all times, we need to be out there and helping people who feel lost or depressed or sad or disempowered, become empowered, become inspired, become, more of who they're here to be, and motivate them. And so, yeah. Sunday, I think we had 10 or 12 more readings than we did on Saturday. And some people said they had a better Sunday than a Saturday. The energy was much better after that. But I think that Vegas somewhere, it was in my intuitive reality, knowing that that was in the motions of happening, because I just was on fire. And one of the things people that are not people that come to the Web of Light Expo, if their first priority isn't to spread more love, light, and healing in the world, I don't want them.
Yeah. Well, makes sense.
Yeah. They're not here with the right thing. So, do you have any news you want to talk about this time? I always give you the option to say, yeah, no, really, not really. Go ahead.
No, it's been a hectic day, so I don't have anything. Of course, there's always a million things going on in the world. I don't know if you had anything specific.
Well, I have a couple of things. First of all, I do want to have a little bit of a discussion. I don't know that it's anything that we can give clarity to per se. I think the information is probably pretty factual as it's been put out. But I want to talk a little bit about the resignation of Representative Tim Murphy. Are you familiar with that?
I am very familiar with that. Yes, I've been talking about him on the show. Yes.
So I'm going to invite you to start the conversation, because you've been talking about it in your show. So why don't you go ahead and put in your two cents first about what you think about this whole thing that just happened and the fact that he is resigning as of October 21st.
Yes. Well, Representative Tim Murphy of Pennsylvania, Republican, conservative, very pro-life, likes to promote things like the March for Life and whatnot, which is, of course, a big pro-life event. And it turns out, like many politicians, bit of a hypocrite. He is married, and he did have an extramarital affair, and he got his mistress pregnant and apparently encouraged her to have an abortion. So I guess when he talks about being pro-life, the goose is not always good for the gander. That applies to everyone else, but not to him. She apparently, in response to, he or someone on his staff in his name promoting the March for Life, she apparently texted him or messaged him or emailed him. I forget exactly how she contacted him, but basically called him out and said, funny, you're so pro-life and you're promoting the March for Life, but you encouraged me to have an abortion when we were discussing options. when they had their pregnancy scare. And I forget now if he actually did get her pregnant or if they just had a scare. I think maybe they just had a scare. But the point being... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, it was a scare. Go ahead.
It was a scare, okay. So the point being, you know, he's publicly very pro-life, but, of course, in his personal life, he does not practice what he preaches. And now he is retiring from Congress.
Yeah, after 8 terms. He's been in since 2002. She texted, and the text was obtained by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, so probably she texted it to him and CC'd it there herself, I suspect. And what she said was, zero issue posting your pro-life stance all over the place when you had no issue asking me to abort our unborn child just last week when we thought that was one of the options.
Right.
So... One of the things that stands out to me in this whole case is that in a response, when people ask him for a response, this is the quote-unquote of what he said. I've never, about his anti-abortion message, I've never written them. Staff does them. I read them and wince. I told staff, don't write anymore. I will. How disturbing is that?
Yeah, it's bizarre, and I'm not even sure what he means at the end when he says, "I told them don't write them. I will." I'm not even sure what he means by that.
His anti-abortion messages. What I read that his all of this him being every place doing all these anti-abortion things. His staff wrote, and he let them put out, but they were not actually his words. But they were put out as if they were his words. And he says, and I read them and winced. So he was letting his staff put stuff out that he read and winced, but he let his staff put them out. And that to me is just as disturbing, if not more, that he was allowing his name to be used with something that disturbed him enough that it made him wince. I mean, that's a whole different level of hypocrisy. Go ahead.
Well, I don't believe he was. I don't believe that that's what was actually happening. I think that's just how he was trying to spin it to her. But I'm sure he knew everything that was going out and was approving it. And because publicly, in terms of public policy, he is pro-life. He's just a hypocrite. I mean, either way, he's a hypocrite. You're right. But I don't believe the excuse that he made to her that, oh, his staff puts these things out, and he when he realized it, he winced. And no, he I'm sure he knew everything that was going out, and he probably was writing it himself or directing that, and he was just lying to her. That's what I think.
So anyways, but I wanted to discuss that a little bit simply because I think that, you know, here again, We set artificial standards for our politician, knowing that they're not going to ever meet them. I mean, the American public is as responsible for this illusion game. I mean, one of the credits I will give to Trump is Trump has broken so many glass ceilings. He is a predator. He's divorced. He is shady. He's a lot of things that everybody would have said, you never could become president if you were these things. You have to be lily white and Christian and pure and this has only been since the 50s. This so turns my stomach. Before the 50s, presidents didn't discuss their religion in the elections because it was irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a thing. So the media, the American people are equally responsible for creating pedestals that they demand politicians stand on to get elected instead of being realistic and saying they're just humans. Thoughts?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I always say I don't know why we tolerate what we do as Americans. I mean, we keep electing these people who, you know, they don't, I mean, as we've talked about a million times on the show, they don't represent us. They represent the donor class. That's who they really work for. And I just don't know why we tolerate it. We think of how tolerant we are of it. We make casual jokes in American society, like, well, how do you know when a politician's lying? His lips are moving. Ha, ha, ha. And we just kind of joke about it because we just accept, oh, that's the way it is. And I don't know why. I don't know why we tolerate it and why we don't demand better.
Okay. Well, I think that we should demand better. I don't know why we're not demanding better. And when did our standards get so low? But you know what? Have you ever read any of Mark Twain? He was saying the same thing about politicians 100 years ago. Well,
oh,
yeah,
sure.
No, 120 years ago, 125 years ago. Will Rogers, Mark Twain, I mean, they date back. You know, there are still, I think it's the New Yorker. You can still find the you know, Rutherford B. Hayes and Woodrow Wilson and Taft comic strips and that aren't all that different than what we see today for politicians. When did we, you know, I always look at the 50s as really a dividing line for when a lot of crap came into it. But does politics, Matt, in of itself make it impossible for it to have integrity? Is it just such a flawed system?
Well, maybe that's just it. Maybe it's just human nature. You know, they say, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And maybe, I mean, that was George Carlin's theory. I remember he had in one of his bits, he said, you know, this is what the American system produces. You know, politicians, they're just people like anyone else. This is the best we've got. So, you know, we talk about wanting to do better, but we can't. This is what our society produces. So maybe there is no solution.
Okay, and we'll be right back with Matt Connerton and talk about bump stock.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner. And your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. here on the first Monday of the month. As all, first Thursday of the month, we have Neutral News with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed in the Afternoon and IPM Nation fame as we kick around what's going on in the world. You can learn how to more about Matt and how to listen to his Drive Time show by going to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and he has a link there that you can just click make one of your favorites, whether you listen to it originally and call in the original air, or whether you listen to a repeat. Also, if you'd like to be part of today's conversation, you can call 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. If I'm saying that number too fast for you, just remember facebook.com/mydrkevin. Come to my Facebook fan page, like it while you're there, and the number is there. Today's show is posted there, and the link to Matt is there. So everything's there, so why would you not go? So, Matt, how significant do you think it is that the NRA is supporting a review of bump stock? Or well, do you not know what I'm talking about?
I do, and I am far from an expert when it comes to anything related to guns, but my understanding, a bump stock allows you to convert a semi-automatic weapon to an automatic weapon relatively easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a clip yesterday on my show. We got into this a little bit. Actually, we got into a pretty big gun control discussion yesterday on the show. And I played a clip of Newt Gingrich, who is someone I've always respected his intellect. He's someone with whom I disagree on many things because he's a pretty conservative guy, and I'm not. But I've always found him to be very, very smart. And he surprised me in that he said very eloquently, I thought, on Fox, that he believes that, you know, while he is very pro-Second Amendment, it is time that we're going to have to start reviewing our gun laws in terms of emerging technologies. You know, we've got the bump stock. We have silencers. We have, which are not new, I realize, but it is something that needs to be looked at. We have 3D printers with which you can make a ceramic gun, apparently, that will evade detection if you try to bring it onto an airplane. You know, so we've kind of come to a point where, and I'm personally, by the way, I'm personally very pro Second Amendment myself, but we have come to a point where even those among us who are the most pro-gun rights have to look at it and say there are issues in terms of the advancing technology, and bump stocks seems to be at the forefront of this. There are issues that we're going to have to take a serious look at. There's no getting around it, and it's not because we want to restrict people's constitutional rights to firearms, but just because there are practical issues that have to be addressed. And I think that in terms of the NRA, they are beginning to recognize they cannot avoid addressing these issues. And I don't think their membership will tolerate them avoiding addressing these issues. There's been, over the last several years, there's been some polling data of NRA members who are surprisingly, in many ways, much more sort of moderate in terms of their own attitudes towards gun control, or, you know, the idea of bringing back the assault weapons ban, things like that. They're more open to these ideas and looking at these options than the leadership at the NRA seems to be, or in terms of the NRA's lobbying efforts in Washington. So it's not that surprising to me. And again, I'm very pro Second Amendment. You know, I mean, I live in New Hampshire, and we're armed to the teeth in this state, and we're also very, very safe here statistically. But there are questions, there are issues in terms of the technology, as Duke Gingrich pointed out, as Paul Ryan has also now pointed out. that we do need to take a serious look at to confront these emerging technologies in terms of firearms.
Well, and I think that one of the things is, because I'm certainly not anti-Second Amendment. You and I have had this conversation
right.
before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that any time you dig yourself into a black and white set of absolutes around an issue, then you've already set up the issue to fail on one side or the other. And mm-hmm. with this, there are some kind of gun and gun assist. Now, the NRA was very careful in what I read, which was basically they were questioning the legality of or the need for regulation or some kind of something just around the bumper stock, which in of itself is not a gun.
Right. Right.
It is an addition to a gun that turns a... And the guy in Vegas had like six of them in his hotel room, which is why mm-hmm. once he opened fire, before they could do anything or react to it, he got so many shots off. He got so many things. Because he
right.
set it up. It was like one of those, you know, Matrix or superhero movies when, you know, you have the guns all lined up and they're shooting them and throwing them away and shooting them and throwing away and shooting them and throwing away.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he had that set up in his hotel room to do the greatest amount of damage. And so I do think that, you know, we have to get away from these almost caricature debates where if somebody says, I think we may have to look to have some regulation on guns, we may have to have something that just says, you know, can we take a moment and pause, that then suddenly, and you still see them, I saw them on Facebook from somebody who's, well, they're going to use this as an excuse again to take away all of our guns. You know, looking to regulate and eliminate are two completely different conversations.
I agree.
But I do think that, you know, and again, the question was, is this a significant move? You said it's not surprising, but let's face it. There are a lot of moves that we as intelligent, observant, conscious people look at and go, and why didn't you make that move 5 years ago? Versus they actually made a move to at least open up a discussion that could lead to other things. And this is why I question, is this somewhat significant? Having them do this, and what's going to happen to the fringe, and I say the fringe, not the majority of the NRA, not the majority of the gun owners, not the I was raised and there were guns in my house, and if I didn't have a fiance that said that the marriage wouldn't happen if I had a gun in the house, I would probably have a gun in my house right now. So I'm certainly not opposed to guns, but
right.
You know, from that, but how long do we put up with, or how long do we tolerate, or how long do we give our power away to the fanatical fringe nutcase cases who basically say, if you want to get submachine guns that can do 300 bullets a minute, you should be able to buy it with nobody asking any questions.
That is the fringe, though.
But we give our power to the fringe so often because they have the biggest mouths.
True. Well, I think we may have reached a tipping point with that. Like I said, I mean, the NRA membership polling data shows that that they're very open to, you know, increased background checks and things like that. Even things that I'm skeptical of. The membership is open to, and so I think that this may be a tipping point. I think the fringe may find themselves losing their power. I will defend the fringe just a tiny bit and say this. I understand their perspective in this regard. I think most of what we would call the fringe, they're not completely wrong to be skeptical of government adding additional regulations to whatever already exists, because they see it as the camel's nose under the tent. They see it as, okay, the government encroaches a little bit, and then they're going to encroach a little bit more and a little bit more. As a small L libertarian myself, I understand that mindset. I don't buy in to it, so I don't agree with the fringe. I think that we already have reasonable regulation, and we may have to have additional regulations in regard to this emerging technology. I don't want somebody to be able to walk around with an Uzi, no questions asked. Of course not. So I disagree with the fringe, but I am not entirely unsympathetic to how they see it. They're very, very worried about government encroachment, and I understand that concern. So I'm not one to completely dismiss that, even though ultimately I disagree with their position, and I would even go so far as to say I think they're a little bit paranoid. But I get it. I get why they feel the way they do.
So let me ask you this question. Will we see, if the NRA moves more moderate in its approach, and of course, you know, I'm surprised that the NRA has never tried to take on the fact that felons can't buy guns. Because isn't that encroaching in someone's Second Amendment? I mean, when somebody has served jail time, they're supposed to be that that if they were convicted, they serve jail time and they return, and they're supposed to be a full American citizen. And yet they're not, because they in all states I think they can't have a gun. There's one of the two things that in most states they can't vote, and that's an atrocity too. I was a felon.
Yeah.
Not I'm not saying I was a felon, but if I was a felon and I went in and I was a product of my upbringing and I did something stupid at 19 and I went in and I actually did rehab, maybe even studied, maybe got a college education, maybe became a lawyer. These stories happen, but I can never vote again for the rest of my life. I can never have a gun again.
Yeah.
I can never have access. I'm surprised more people don't poke at those things.
Well, I do believe that. Oh, I'll have to finish that thought in a minute.
We'll be right back.
Your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show. here on Neutral News, first Thursday of the month with Matt Connerton Unleashed. If you would like to join in, remember you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You can leave your comment. We'll get it and read it on air. If you listen to this as a repeat, we can certainly reply to a comment if you post it afterwards. You will also find a link to Matt's Drive Time show, 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, where you can listen to it on the internet or the replays. Or you can call in live, 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. So, you got cut off in mid-sentence. And you were saying something about the whole felon issue and the fact that they can't own guns and they can't vote.
Oh, yes. Okay, so as far as voting, I think that if you've paid your debt to society, you absolutely should have your right to vote. I think that that should be reinstated, especially when we live in a country where we lock up millions and millions of people for use and possession of a plant that grows in nature. I do think you should... You should have your right to vote back. As far as, you said you wonder why the NRA doesn't poke more at felons being able to have guns. I think the reason for that is a big part of the constituency of people who are very pro-Second Amendment, who happen to be very sort of politically conservative overall, they also tend to be very much law and order types. And I think that conservative ideologues tend to, yes, they're very pro-gun, but they also don't have a lot of sympathy for felons, and so therefore they aren't particularly concerned with felons being able to carry a firearm. So I think it's just as simple as that. I think they don't care, so the NRA doesn't care.
So here's my last question for you on this subject before I move to a new one. Do you think there's any possibility that we're going to see a Tea Party version of the NRA spring up if the NRA gets too much into the middle ground on all of this? Will the fringe spin off and try to do what the Tea Party did to the Republicans?
I doubt it. That's a very big mountain to try to climb. I don't think they will. I don't think they will. And even if they do, I just don't see it. No, I would say no.
Okay, just asking. We do see fringe, spin off, and they start their own society or their own church or their own organization or their own whatever. And if some of those fringe just happen to be millionaires or even a billionaire among some of the fringe, it could get funded. And money talks. Oftentimes it talks dirty because it's dirty money, but money talks.
That's true. Anything's possible. That's a big mountain to climb, though. I doubt it.
So now... one of the things I want to do, because you said you didn't have, it was a busy day and you didn't really have a chance to have anything ready, is I want to just share a couple of good news stories. I have decided that in Neutral News, when we discuss whatever we want to discuss, I want to fill the rest of the time up with a few good news stories I found, because I think that the good news doesn't get put out enough. So, so I wanted to share one of the things I found. First of all, that just days after the restaurants jumped to feed victims and responders in Las Vegas, word comes out that Chef Jose Andre is on the ground in Puerto Rico giving meals to those displaced by Hurricane Maria, working out of school cafeterias, food trucks, sporting arenas, and other borrowed space. They've already prepared and given away more than 130,000 meals in areas including San Juan.
Wow. It's very good.
And I really want to put out there that, we hear so much negative and we hear so much stuff, but over and over again, human nature you see these really truly acts of kindness, of love, of compassion, and we don't and we don't spend enough time highlighting and using these as using these as our role models and our examples to our children and even to each other, that there is something you can do. There's also one that I read that I found, that volunteer pilots are flying plane loads of dogs and cats out of Puerto Rico that were left to die or go feral.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, people volunteering their time. I don't know if they're actually having to even, you know, whether it's costing them money if they're using their own plane. But, you know, this one talks about how, you know, a private pilot came in with a couple thousand pounds of water, diapers, food, and other supplies packed into his rented cargo plane, and then he left with a plane full of dogs and cats bound for New Jersey.
Wow.
And he's the president of Wings of Rescue, a nonprofit that deploys volunteer pilots to evacuate animals to places where their lives are at risk. And he did the same thing in Hurricane Harvey. He's doing it in Hurricane Maria. I didn't see anything about Irene, but I don't know that Irene, I don't know if the kind of damage Irene did really qualified for that. But there are some really good things going on in the world today. And I really think that we all should, I think that we would have better, I think that we would have better, a better day. And, you know, I was talking to a friend earlier today that's very, very, you know, that's, you know, very spiritual and very blah, you know, I say blah, blah, and I don't mean that disrespectful at all, but, you know, very much into understanding energy and stuff like this. And what do I hear blaring in the background? Constantly on the whole time of the conversation, CNN. But shut it off. Turn it off. People that are listening to me, turn it off. If you have to, if you want to keep up once a day, watch it for about a half an hour. That's all you'll need. If anything major comes, there are so many places that information will pop up on news feeds, on phones. You'll hear it. Somebody will say something. You're not going to miss anything. But don't be under the constant barrage of the media's need to keep your attention by basically, you know, winding you up and setting you, you know, setting all of your flight or fight, you know, hormones, you know, onto high gear. What's going to happen next? Oh, my God, what happened this? What happened that? What happened that? And then go find out. I challenge my listening audience to find at least one, if not three, good stories every day that as their day goes on, they mention those good stories to the people that they have. Do you know how many people's days would get improved if they maybe heard a touching story, a positive story?
Oh, yeah.
They're out there. You have to look harder for them. So what do you think, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on my current get up, getting up on my soapbox. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. There are sources out there for good news. And sometimes, too, you can find good news within bad news. You know, with the Las Vegas shooting, you know, there were a lot of people when that happened who were not, I mean, obviously people who had military, you know, who were in the military or had, you know, some sort of military training and first responders and whatnot, you know, did a lot to help people and help people get out of there, help people to escape, help people who needed medical attention and whatnot. But also a lot of people who didn't have that, you know, when the shooting happened, you know, most people, I'm sure, ran and tried to get away as quickly as they could to save themselves. And obviously, you don't blame anybody for that, of course. But there were also a lot of brave people who had never experienced anything. I mean, how could anyone experience anything, you know, unless you've been to war, you're never going to experience anything quite like what happened. But people who were going and filling their vehicles with the people who had been harmed, who had been shot but not dead, and getting them out of there and bringing them to the hospital, and then going back and picking up more people and bringing them to the hospital. And there were a lot of heroes that day. I mean, and I almost hate to say it because it sounds cliche, but it's true. There were a lot of heroes that day, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders, in her statement to the press the next day, said something I thought very eloquent, and I won't get it exactly right, verbatim, but something to the effect of the bravery and the caring that the people showed on that day helping victims of that shooting says far more about us as Americans than does the cowardly act of the gunman. And I thought that was, again, she, the way she said it was, you know, obviously it was a prepared statement, but she said it very, very eloquently. But I think it's true. So even within tragedy, you can find heroes. You can find people who care for other people and want to protect and help other people. And I think that's important to note.
Matt, as always, thank you for joining us here on the first Monday of the month. We will see you, well, I'll see you before that, but we'll see you in another month.
Yes. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Kevin.